Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Lucy.
And I'm Erica.
And today we're talking about Season 2, Episode 4, The Handcuffs. It was directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed May 16th, 1952. And the synopsis of this is basically Ricky isn't spending a whole lot of time with Lucy, and so Lucy decides she's gonna play a trick on him and use trick handcuffs to get her point across of how much she wants to spend time with him, except she accidentally uses real handcuffs and they're stuck together.
Not just real handcuffs, Civil War handcuffs.
Civil War handcuffs. Yes. Sorry. This episode is based on the My Favorite Husband episode called Liz and George Are Handcuffed. It was episode 69 and broadcast December 30th, 1942. This is also, again, four of five episodes that were broadcast before Lucy went on leave for her baby.
You know what? We should probably,
in preparation,
listen to the, not like in, you know, as a recording, but listen to the episodes before or something, the My Favorite Husband, to kind of compare. That might be a little too
I
much
do sometimes
to do, but yeah, to
no I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should start doing that
to compare, because I wonder how much change there is. Is it just, you know, is it just
some
inspired?
Of them are really close.
Yeah,
some of them are almost like word for word. And I think we did with the one where they they do the will. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't the whole synopsis, but there was, I think, like a scene that was almost word for word.
Yeah, because
they
that's
switched
where
the names, writers, right? Yeah,
that would be really interesting. So, first things first, what kind of drinks now are we rocking today?
It's gonna be done. There'll be no more I Love Lucy episodes it's that are over. Based off of My Favorite Husband.
Over.
Oh, okay. Drinks. I am just drinking Coke Zero. That's it.
There's no alcohol involved?
Nope.
So you're telling me you made me get alcohol and you
absolutely
have no alcohol? Wow. Uh-huh. That's some sabotage happening in real time, for guys. So
I'm trying to lose weight. You're not. So
I'm trying to gain weight. Okay. So I have lemonade. I had just plain old good American lemonade. And Lucy's like, go spike that with your leftover vodka from last week. So I did just that because I have
maybe
no spine.
Purchase some better alcohol.
Okay. And that's where we're at.
Like, okay.
I just say, okay. This is not good. This is not good for my reputation. She just says, okay. So this, the handcuffs, is one of those episodes where, you know, the physical comedy's off the charts, which is always nice to see. And yeah, this is, I actually watched it earlier today and I laughed louder than I usually do when it's an episode that I know so well. So I know that it's good. Yeah.
We'll have to talk about my favorite part, but okay. So the wraparound footage in the 1953 I Love Lucy feature film, some of it was shot during this show, mm-hmm. this evening event show. It was not part of the unreleased. Well, so the episode wasn't part of the film, but some of the like welcoming of the audience and stuff. Yeah.
Like
was,
the warm up,
which is
kind of
cool.
Like
yeah,
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love watching Desi do those warm up act, and he introduces everybody. I love that. Okay, so we open up the show, and we have the
with
four
Fred.
Of them sitting in the Ricardo apartment, and Fred is doing his usual magic tricks. Of course, in your face, he's using
Philip Morris
box of cigarettes. And the endorsements are flying here, but yeah, everyone looks bored out of their mind because poor Fred is just trying to entertain them with a magic trick, which I'm assuming he's done many times. And
many times, probably
looking bored. Ethel looks bored. Everyone just looks bored.
Okay. And even so, after the first trick, when he goes to the second one, I don't know if you noticed, but like Lucy and Ricky both turn out. Like away from him,
yeah, like
is kind
like
of a way
back.
To be like, please no, like mm-hmm. like we're ending this, you mm-hmm. know, like closing it off, mm-hmm. and he just doesn't take a hint,
no,
at all.
No, he's very much engaged in this trick, and so next he wants to do his, you know, infamous to him and Ethel probably, handcuff, routine or trick. And, you know, he said, unless you beg me to do, you know, to do it, then I'll do it. And Lucy said, Fred, please, like, please stop.
Please don't. He said, please. All right.
You got it. So Ethel's like, just humor him. He's going to ask you to, you know, be part of the, to volunteer from the audience. And, you know, poor, they're just not feeling it. So as soon as he's pretending to be on stage and saying, we need someone from the audience, Lucy's already standing there because she knows that she's going to be called. And he does the whole, what the magic words? What are the magic words after he puts the handcuffs on her? Hocus pocus, dominocus.
It's dominocus, yes. Because that's real. And I've never heard that.
Yeah, me neither. I've never heard the third hocus
pocus. The dominocus part.
Yeah. And so he makes this weird sound and it's supposed to just come off. And that's not what happens.
Well, no, what happens is he goes, we'll test these to see if they're sturdy. Mm-hmm. And that they're not fake, and then I will get them off. And right. She just takes them right off and ruins his trick.
It's
like, whoops.
It's kind of like when a kid is doing a magic trick for you and you have to go along with it and go, wow, you know, like you really made it disappear or reappear or something like that.
Yeah.
They're kind of done doing that for Fred. She just felt really bad.
Done it all afternoon. Well, it's said that they've been there like to the afternoon, you know, like.
That's true. And Ricky had work to do this.
Probably have been there
yeah.
a while. And so finally Fred, he's like kind of storms off. He's like, all right, bye.
Yeah.
And leaves. And this is when Ethel says, you know, coming Houdini. Mm-hmm. I think everyone knows who Harry Houdini is.
Yeah.
But he's Eric Weiss. Mm-hmm. Weiss. Mm-hmm. He was from 1874 to 1926. That's his age. He was a magician, illusionist, and escape artist. He's most well known for his iron shackle escapes.
Yes, so that was like you said, most people should know at least, but perhaps not many of the younger people. But Houdini's one most famous people. And I think there was one where he was thrown over into a river, I believe he was, and escaped from a box or something like that. There's a movie about it not too long
ago. Oh, I'm sure there's been
quite a few movies, I'm sure. But yeah, so that's why she references and calls him, let's go Houdini, you know, because
even though he's not,
he's the
Houdini was good. He's the opposite. Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, I'm sorry if I, you know, hurt his feelings. Oh no, he's fine. He'll be okay. And yeah. And so she thinks, Ricky's like, oh, thankfully he's gone, you know, and I can get to work. And she thought he was just making that up to get rid of them. But really he has work to do because he has a television show to rehearse for. And she's kind of upset because she was hoping that since it was Monday, he would take her to the movies.
I like this because she says, but Ricky, tonight's Monday. You're going to take me to movies and dinner. You were going to. And he went, I was? She said, yeah,
well, yeah, you didn't haven't know,
told you yet. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I do want to mention that I know we've said this so much, but he's chilling, right, with the Ricardos, and he is the Ricardo, with the Mertzes, mm-hmm. and his wife on his day off, and he's in a full suit and a tie.
I said the exact same thing because
I was like, I know that everyone's probably like, oh, they're going to say it again, but like, it's his day off.
Yeah, he's always very dapper. I don't remember the last time we see him casual, so much so that when he is casual, it stands out. So he's always, you know, very much dressed to the nines. Lucy's much more casual. Even when he's about to lay down, take off his shoes and relax, he's still in a full on suit and tie.
You know, Ricky's like, well, listen, I have to do this. You know, like I have work. And Lucy's like, listen, it's been so long since I've been to a movie. Mm-hmm. And she references the movie. Do you know what the reference is?
Yes, it's to the movie Ben-Hur, when she says, I believe the last time, you know, I watched the movie, there's a guy named Ben and he won a chariot race, which of course she's referencing that movie. And I think that was in the 20s, I want to say, that movie.
Yep, it came out in 1925.
Okay, yeah.
There was a remake. Film yeah. starring Roman Navario. Mm-hmm. And it was silent, So that's why she said, you know, I hear they have pictures
with sound with now.
Words with sound now.
Right. And so he promises to take her, you know, the next Monday he has off, which is neat that this was shown in real time in, you know, 1952. And they kept referencing Mondays because Mondays were generally, or not generally, always Lucy nights. And so, you know, that's when they would always air. In fact, I think all Lucy shows aired on Monday nights. All the Lucy, you know, shows after I Love Lucy, Lucy Show, Life with Lucy, Here's Lucy. I think they were all aired on Monday nights. So she's, you know, okay, fine. That's fine. I'll let you rehearse. I'll give you some time. I'll go see what Ethel's up to. So they show the clock that it's, you know, passing time. And Ricky eventually falls asleep. And she crawls in because she has an idea about playing a trick on him, like you mentioned earlier, and sticking those fake handcuffs on him and like, you're my prisoner. Ha ha ha.
So funny. Well, but to be fair, he does enjoy it. We'll back up a little bit because it is kind of weird what happens when she tries to wake him up.
The cat thing.
Yeah. I was like, does he think she's a kitten, like a kitty?
Like, for reference, like,
is he woken up in the... Sorry, go ahead.
We've had dreams where we think we're doing a thing or we have a whole scenario happening and then we wake up mid dream and doing the thing. So perhaps, you know, maybe your cat, you know, comes to lick you to wake up your face or something like that. And in
your dream, lips.
And in your dream, I don't know, something else. And so as you awake from this, you're still mid-dream. So perhaps he was feeling the tickling that Lucy just did as a cat. And either that or he just is calling a cat that never existed. I don't know.
Anyways, it was weird and kind of unexplained. It's not discussed ever again. But this is where Lucy puts on the handcuffs. She's already done that. Sorry, yeah. She's done that. And this is where he notices that they're on. And like I said, at first, he thinks it's cute. You know, he's silly. He's smiling, right. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because he saw the handcuff trick as well. So he's assuming what she assumed, that they just come right off.
Right. But that's not the case.
Yeah, because they're Civil War handcuffs. We find that out a little bit later. But they're like the real deal, the real McCoy. If we're thinking about it, so the American Civil War was fought between 1861 and 1865, which means that these were about 90 years old at the time of the episode. We'll also find out that Fred doesn't have a key. So they try to do the trick to get them undone, right?
And that I love fails. That they still say the words to...
They have to. You've got to do that.
And remove the handcuffs, and they're not coming off. They're jiggling, they're struggling with it, and these handcuffs are just not coming off. And so she's like, wow, he must have more, you know, magical powers than we gave him credit for. And they're just not coming off. So as they stand up, that's when Ethel and Fred come in a panic, because Ethel has just informed Fred as to the handcuffs that she did take with her.
Did Ethel give Lucy the handcuffs?
Well, what's that odd is that it didn't take that long. I mean, it was later that night that she goes downstairs to hang out with Ethel while Ricky rehearses or practices or whatever. Already, they are already stored in a trunk, because she said, we got these out of Fred's trunk. So in all that time, Fred leaves to show off his trick to his buddies.
His magic trunk. It's probably out from all the tricks he's been doing all day. And he probably wants to put the real ones back in the trunk.
Yeah, for safekeeping.
But why they're in the trunk for magic, I don't understand.
Yeah, so she says, you know, don't put them on. These are not the real ones, or not the fake ones. And it's too late, of course. And hilarity will ensue eventually, because Ricky is really upset about, you know, these being, you know, on there. He has to leave. And he says that these are Civil War handcuffs. I love the quips, no matter what happens. And Ethel's like, have you had them since then? And of course. It's
have you noticed how often Ricky is always threatening death?
Oh my gosh. I wrote that also because he's like, till death do us part.
You want it to be, you know,
it's going to be together. Tonight.
Together yeah. for forever or something, until death do us part. That event is about to take place right now.
Right. He's always
even in front of the Mertzes. Yeah, I was like, that's just a disturbingly large amount of
rage.
That joke.
Yeah.
Joke. But did you also notice? So during the scene, you know, they start to kind of freak out. And then Ricky says that, and Fred's like, whoa, take a chill pill. You can solve this by just calling the locksmith.
Yeah.
And Colin was like, or bolt cutters or an axe grinder, you know, those were around at that time.
You know,
I was like, but we wouldn't have the episode if they got to do that.
So my husband was watching this with me as well. And I made the point, Ricky may not have tools because he's, you know, a band leader. He doesn't have much time. He's always in a suit. A man in a suit does not do physical work in an apartment. But Fred owns the building, so he must have these tools,
he's got to have tools
for like fixing that. And all of that, but he does not. My question to you is, have you ever called or used the services of a locksmith?
No.
Neither have I. I just wonder if people still use, I mean, is the locksmith business still a thing?
When you lock yourself out of a car.
I call AAA. They come in and rescue me. But
before that, then I guess, like when I was young, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I've never used a
locksmith. If you lock yourself out of the house.
It's an interesting business.
Maybe. I don't know. It is. And I'll talk about that in a second when we get there.
Yes.
But they're calling, and basically what we're finding out is that no one is going to be able to come in until the morning. I wanted to know, did you notice that like Lucy's got like a long sleeve shirt on her left arm? It's super subtle, but like underneath the cuffs, there's a shirt. And I think that's so that it doesn't rub so much on her
those
wrist.
Are ACE bandages.
They are
yes, because both of them actually later on the following scene, later that night, the hilarious scene in the bedroom, they you kind of have get a hint of them. So both Desi and Lucy have ACE bandages for that reason. So they don't have, they don't, what you just said, they don't get, you know, rubbed up against the
okay,
well, the handcuffs. But yeah, good spotting.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like we said, these are Civil War handcuffs that were given to Fred from a police benefit he did in 1919. So like you mentioned, it was already 90 years old at that point to have it in the 50s. There are no locksmiths that can show up immediately that night. So they have to go to bed with these handcuffs. And this is where we get all the physical comedy in the bedroom scene, which is, it's so odd to listen to them. I mean, you could tell that it's two single beds together to make one big bed, but she still calls it my bed. I want to sleep on my bed. You know,
it's just, it's her mattress. Yeah. There might be different, you know, some people like firmer mattresses. Some like, so if you've got your own side, then you can pick how you like your mattress.
Right.
Maybe that, I don't know.
Yeah. So they are trying to figure out how in the world they're going to get into bed, put on pajamas, handcuffed. At that point, I wouldn't even try. I just lay down, not even try and put pajamas on because it's pointless. I mean, how
are you going to, find out that it's pointless.
Yeah.
Put them on, you can't take them off. She was going to cut off Ricky's suit and he's like, whoa, no, these are, you know, and my question also is why does she just have a huge pair of scissors on her vanity?
That's a good question.
It doesn't seem like something that just chill out on your vanity.
At least not that size.
Right. I know, they're ginormous.
So they try to each take turns taking off a piece of clothing. And it's
and then decide, you know what, we're going to sleep in our clothing.
It's not going to work.
There's nothing we can do. I'm not going to ruin a new suit. That's what Fred or Ricky says. Mm-hmm. And so then they're like, okay, well, at least let's take our shoes off. Why don't they just take the shoes off with the heels?
That's what I was going
to
say.
Or, you know, the toe of their other foot, heel, toe, yes. Boom.
Why did off. They have to roll on the bed and make, of course, we know why, the physical comedy of physical it all, comedy. Of course. But in reality, you just slip it off with the other shoe, the other foot.
Yeah. Or Colin was like, or they could have just done it one at a time, like normal person, like normal people. I was like, I could have.
And I love that, you know, like we mentioned, they each try and go in opposite directions, which would infuriate me. Just the idea of someone yanking on you like that. And you, it's a lot, but it happens twice. It's because they want to go to their respective sides and that doesn't work. So they climb into bed from the, you know, from the outside. And Lucy can't sleep on her back. She wants to sleep on her stomach.
So then they switch, but then she has to sleep on his side of the bed and vice versa, and they're on their stomach.
At that point just kind of give in, because you're in a very special scenario that doesn't happen. It's not like you're on vacation in Barbados and you're trying to get comfortable. You're locked in handcuffs and you just have to make best of what's happening in front of you.
Ricky's definitely at that point, right? He's like, just like, let's go to sleep. And Lucy's the one that's like, Ricky.
And she got him in this mess. You'd think she'd be like, let me just, you know, tread lightly because I'm the one who got us in this mess. But nope.
So finally she's like, listen, I think I figured out a way to get me on the other side of the handcuffs, which is stupid. Obviously she wouldn't be able to, but that's where she does this. Like, it kind of reminds me of the human knot where you have to like grab someone else's hands and then you have to untangle yourself.
She puts his leg over just with two people. Head and, you know, she's making them a human pretzel just to turn back around and end up in the same spot. And she's like, I'll give you $5.
Like, look, I'm over here.
If you can get out of this one, because he's like, you know, he's got his butt in the air. He's laying on the bed and she's trying to, it's unnecessary chaos.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, she's like, no, look, I entangled those. This is how we started.
Yeah. So finally he's like, listen, you want to sleep on your stomach? She's like, yeah. On your side of the bed? Yeah. So he just picks her up and flops her on her stomach.
Well, before he flops her, he goes, oh my God, 11 years, 22 pounds. Oh, yes.
Which I was like, listen, how
rude.
You're keeping track. It's interesting though, because also It is discovered, can't remember how long ago.
I think it was in the diet.
Was it the diet? Mm-hmm. That she was 100 and she'd gained 22 pounds since their marriage.
She was 132 pounds.
There you go.
Diet episode. And so with that math, it works out perfectly that she did in 11 years gain 22 pounds. And so he makes that reference when he picks her up and he does throw her on the bed. And now she's on her stomach on her side like she wanted. And they just give up and
he falls asleep and she's like looking annoyed. The next scene is Vivian.
Yes.
Calling in the locksmith, who's played by William Wright and plays Bent Fork Sheriff.
The father of Teensy and Weensy.
Yes. And he appeared in the Lucille Ball film, Miss Grant Takes Richmond.
What I love is when they wake up that next morning, they look like they've been through hell. It's
But continuity error.
Uh-oh.
Ricky has his tie back on.
That's right. He did remove it first.
Maybe he put the tie back on, but like they look so disheveled that like you have to assume that they didn't really do anything shuffling out of bed, and yet there's this tie.
That's true. That is very true.
And so this guy comes in, this locksmith, and he is talking to Ricky about how he has seen him before.
Oh, a side note, during that bedroom scene, that was actually worked out prior to that. You know, the writers wrote out the scene, but director Mark Daniels did this with his wife first to kind of see how, I mean, even though it looks pretty chaotic and pretty, you know, discombobulated all over the place, it was actually written
you know, movement by movement, because as we know, Lucio Ball, perfectionist, and plus the director and his wife had already done this exact scene to kind of show them, this is what we want you to do to eventually end up, because it could keep going. Yeah, I want right. you to eventually end up how you were, and this is how you're going to get there. But right. I love that, even though it looks so naturally chaotic, like it's just, they did it on the fly. It was so perfectly, choreographed. And yeah, the director and his wife first did that. But the locksmith, like you said, this guy, he comes in and just is a chatty Cathy. Then, you know, he can't help himself as an older man. And then he finally realizes that he's talking to Ricky Ricardo.
You saw him at the Tippecanoe nightclub.
My wife is a big fan and she loves that Babalik number that you do.
Yeah. Well, he kept saying Baba Lee instead of Baba Lou.
Right.
And then Ricky was like, it's Baba Lou. And he went, yeah, what I said.
What a mess of all the people to show up.
And it was for their 40th wedding anniversary that they went. And he ends up getting an autograph from Ricky before he even starts. And then he's got that big bag, right? And all he pulls out is a huge big ring of keys.
Now, bunch of keys.
Colin was like, interesting that used to be what locksmiths were, because there weren't that many, you know, there weren't a bunch of variety of keys. Mm-hmm. So you could just look at the lock and go, oh, it goes with this key. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, so they just had a ring of master keys and that's what a locksmith was.
Yeah.
Where nowadays, I don't know what they would do, because they don't have consistently the same key, you know?
And like I mentioned, he was very chatty. I mean, these two people are exhausted. I doubt they even slept just based on this, you know, problem they got themselves into. But he starts talking about how, you know, I also had showbiz aspirations. And my friend said I would be the next Fred Astaire. And, you know, he's just giving them their resume. But somehow I ended up in the locksmith business, which is quite the leap from a potential Fred Astaire to
locksmith. And he's like, but who knows, with PV, I might still make it. And they're like, can you just do the job you have right now, please?
And it turns out he does not have the key. And he'll be right back. He's going to go back home and
dash home
because he has another set of keys. That's the only ones in the world. And he'll be back a couple of hours because he lives in Yonkers, which I'm not a New Yorker. So of course we had to look that up. I have no idea what that is based in time distance, but from what I can tell, it was more than 2 hours to get to Yonkers from East 68th Street.
4 hours and 20 minutes walk. So I'm guessing he didn't do that. He probably took a car. It was about 13 miles as far as it is. Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay,
but you have to calculate in traffic to New York and things like that. But anyways, he ends up not being able to get back. It takes him 5 hours because he locked himself out of the house.
Now, of course he did. Now, what does a locksmith do when he locks himself out of the house?
He should have had the key.
The irony is
he probably had to go through all those keys. Yeah.
And of course he says, meet us at the show because you're not going to make it on time. I have to go. Right. We'll figure it out. So of course, somehow Ricky was able to dress up, because he is now in his tux and, you know, ready to go. Lucy still looks like heck. She's still all disheveled. And they're back in the, backstage dressing room area with his agent. You know, they're freaking out. Now he's trying to like file it with like some sort of little saw or something. And it doesn't make.
It's a file, right?
It looks like a file. Yeah.
It is a file. Yeah. It's like a cup that you use for nails.
Yeah.
No, it's like a metal file, like a big metal file. But anyways, already asked the locksmith if they could do that. And he said, you know, this is galvanized steel. You're not going to be able to do that.
You're not going to make a dent here.
But they tried anyways.
And he didn't make a dent. The agent. And this is time he's not played by Jerry Hausner as he usually is. This is Paul Debove. Yeah, 2 months later, Hausner returned to the role. And this Debove later plays Krendel, Ernie Kovacs' chauffeur, and Lucy meets the mustache, which is the very last that always makes me sad because I know that after that, it's like everything was over after Lucy meets the mustache from the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour, but he was also in that episode. Now, in the next scene, well, before we even got to them trying to file it, did you notice the name of the show that he is
your favorite celebrity on TV guest stars?
Yes, that's the name of the show that he's on. Your favorite celebrity on TV guest stars. It's in quotation guest stars.
A mouthful.
Yes. And of course, back when we did the profile, we have an episode on Frank Nelson. We did speak of Viola Vaughn, who we see for, you know, a little bit, who, you know, kind of helps with the comedy in the next scene. She introduces Ricky when he's about to perform because they've given up. The locksmith's not coming. And so he has to go on and she'll be behind the curtain while he's up front.
One hand. And so minus a hand will do. This
was really, really funny.
The hardest at this point. I was like, it is crazy how much I could laugh with just one hand.
You appreciate the comedy, the thought that went into the skit, because it's, you could see throughout television history how it's redone based on something this. It's so good. And Lucy's hand is funny. Okay.
Yes.
And so Viola Vaughn was married to Frank Nelson. She's there in this beautiful floral dress. I couldn't stop staring at it. It was so pretty. And, you know, she's interviewing Ricky and, of course, Lucy's hand, right hand, like to shake.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. To shake her hand.
Yeah. Right. And how does, like, she not notice? I mean, she must notice and just not saying anything.
Play it off. And so when he asks about the albums that he's recorded, she does the whole blowing on her hand.
Big deal. I love that.
Yeah, like very not humble. And so he says that Santiago Chile is one of the songs that he mentions that he's recorded. That's the one he's about to sing. That's a song by Albert Gaymes and Jimmy Carroll. And it was recorded in 1951 by Xavier Cuga on Columbia Records. So that's what he does end up singing. And so it's really an uppity song. So there's a lot of movements for both hands. And it's just so good.
Well, you'd think normally he'd just sing it because he's very surprised when the hands start moving. And he's like, oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
But then finally, you know, he pokes the locksmith pokes his head out and Ricky's like, you know, go back there. And Lucy grabs him. You can kind of see him like fly back there. And there's a little bit of awkwardness as he's trying to get it unhooked. But finally, at the last, you know, note or bar or whatever, he's able to pull his hand out and have both. But I love how when he's, you know, taking his vows, Lucy's arm comes out. Like,
yeah,
felt the need to have representation. And
now the arm through the curtain, you know, kind of skit is something that works so well that they've done it on other sitcoms. They did it on the Lucy Show, the episode Lucy and the Music Lover, Lucy the Music Lover. And
she's playing the violin. Oh, you're about to ask me if I've ever seen Lucy meets the Burtons from Here's Lucy. Of course I have.
That is one of my favorite episodes because
so this one is in color, right?
Yes,
so
the Elizabeth Taylor
ring. Right. In the I Love Lucy episode, this one that we're talking about, you can tell that she doesn't have, you know, her arm is out, right? She obviously doesn't have like a suit jacket on. So it looks weird anyways. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell the huge skin difference. Now, in Lucy Meets the Burtons, Elizabeth Taylor is dark. She's a very tan woman, she's very tan in this. I don't know if she's naturally very tan.
I don't think she's naturally very tan.
She's very tan in this one. And Lucy's pale. I'm sorry. She's got very, very white skin.
Oh, very fair skin.
And yeah. very fair. And so when her hand comes out
yeah.
the skin of Elizabeth Taylor, you're like, okay.
You know, I've seen
and that makes it even more funny.
I don't know if it's a TikTok or just pictures on Instagram where someone, you know, is surprised they get engaged, right? And you're not expecting to get engaged, a surprise proposal. And so you want to take photos in that moment. And so the girlfriend, you know, a girlfriend of yours, because your nails are not ready, maybe they're a little cracked or whatever. So the way they're positioned, the girlfriend will wear the ring, the other one whose nails are done, and put the hand out like this. So you can't tell where she's coming from, but it looks like you're showing off the ring like this. And it's really somebody else's hand. And you're standing there with your fiance. It's so good because you see the person hiding with their hand like this. So it looks like the fiance is wearing the ring. But that's sort of the same thing with the Elizabeth Taylor episode. But
and yeah, I mean, it's been done so many times. Yeah. I mean, the Green Acres, mm-hmm. it was done in that. It was done in Three's Company.
The
Honeymooners, the handcuffed type
routine. Yeah.
Yeah. December's Bride. So it's just been used over and over and over. Hey, dude.
The question.
Oh, even as much as Hannah Montana.
Oh, okay.
2007 was another one. So now, it's Lucy, been used a lot, that same type of. Anyways.
So yeah, that's the end of it. He finally gets out of the handcuffs and, you know, everything is done. And she pops her head out of the curtain. He pushes it back in because, you know.
But sorry, I looked at my notes and I was going to say when she's doing all the hand movements, when they're singing, you can see Ricky and he's so close to like breaking because mm-hmm. he's smiling. And you don't think that at this moment he probably shouldn't be smiling. He'd probably be annoyed. And yet he thinks it's, how did he get through that?
It's commendable as to how much just throughout the I Love Lucy series alone, these people held it together. There are moments where they crack, you know, you could tell Lucy's stomach muscles or she's laughing or Desi's laughter in the background because it's so distinctive, you know, or something like that. But other than that, it's really surprising. That's probably what happens during rehearsals, you know, the laughter.
Get it all out of the system, or at least enough of it that they can.
Nah, I have to laugh again, but yeah, it's pretty, pretty funny to see that bedroom scene. That was just hilarious. And the hands and everything, you could tell he's letting it sink in before it lets him, you know, bust out in laughter. But this is one of my favorites. Clearly, I think we had fun with this one.
Yeah, it was very good.
Thinking about the handcuffs, what's going on over there? Okay.
It's you this time. Is that the vodka?
This is what happens when you suggest that only
I hardly drank any of it.
Like the drink.
I don't even know what to say to you.
But thank you guys for listening. Leave us any comments, any suggestions, any sort of, you know, feedback, or please rate our podcast. We'd like to know.
Yes, please. Like, what's going on now?
Or maybe
they're like, you and alcohol is good.
Is it good? Is it bad? Is it not? You know. Okay. So find us everywhere on Having a Ball Pod, Having a Ball Podcast, Having a Ball Pod at gmail.com, all the places.
Thank you
guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.